Today, three men that made a difference. And we're going to read from Daniel chapter 3. And I've split this into two parts. We're going to read verse 1 to 6 and then 28 to 30. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image that he had set up. So the satraps, the prefects, the governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples." I think we've got microphone problems. Okay. I'll use this one. Is that okay? So where was we? Okay, then the herald, verse 4, then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship him will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Verse 28 to 30 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar said, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other God can save in this way.' Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." Amen. Pause. Back on again. All this technology. I don't think they had it in Bible days, did they? So, three men that made a difference. Let's have a little bit of background. In 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar attacked and conquered Judah. Following his victory, he ordered the best and the fittest young men to be trained for 3 years, then to give some of them positions in the royal court. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among this group. The 3 years was meant to brainwash the Jewish captives into accepting the Babylon way of living, indoctrinating them in Babylonian culture. Even their real names were changed to Babylonian names. Shadrach, his name was Hananiah. Meshach was Mishael, and Abednego was Azariah. Their names may have changed, but not their faith. Their faith in God, the God of all creation that they loved and they served. Their real names honored God. Their real names, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But their new names honored the gods of the Babylonians, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their change of names was not their choice, but honoring God and standing firm in their faith was. The Babylonians could change their names, but not their hearts. They could stay loyal to the God of Israel no matter what. You know, I remember seeing Roots years ago, and I know it's been repeated on television, and this young African boy gets taken away as a slave and changed his name. And he wouldn't have it. He stood firm that his name wasn't Toby. And he was Kunta Kinte. And you know, but in his heart, he had to accept in the end, because of the beatings and the suffering he went through, he had to accept the name of Toby. But you know, deep in his heart, he was Kunta Kinte.
That's what he was proud of. And these three men, exactly the same. They knew their real names, but they answered in the Babylonian kingdom to the new names that was given to them. They knew their own names. Let's just break down a little bit of some of the verses. Verse 1 talks about Nebuchadnezzar's image of gold. 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. This is a real arrogant man, isn't it? You know, I mean, if you're going to do an image of yourself, and I've seen lots of them of pop stars, and they're little figurines, aren't they? Oh no, Nebuchadnezzar is going to go big time. This massive, massive golden idol. Arrogant self-importance. This tells you about Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 2, King Nebuchadnezzar's advisors. Satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and these other provisional officials. They had to attend the dedication of the golden idol. No choice. They had no choice. The image of gold was to be worshipped at the sound of instruments. Do you know, we've worshipped at the sound of some instruments today. Guitar, two guitars, and a piano. Who have we worshipped? Not an idol. No image, apart from the image that we have of our God, our Lord and our Saviour. We've worshipped freely today. We've worshipped with instruments, our hands, our voices. Verse 8 says, the astrologers told the king that his decree was not being acknowledged by three Jews. These Jews would not bow down and worship his idol. He was furious, verse 13 tells us. He was furious. Furious with rage. You know, when we get angry, it can escalate. It can even escalate to the point, as we've seen on television, to the point of murder. Rage becomes anger. Anger becomes violent. Violence brings tragic circumstances. King Nebuchadnezzar was so furious. He summoned the three men to be brought to him. This is what I love. Verse 17. The three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, say this. O king, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, our God will save and rescue us from your hand. And this is the point of faith that comes next. Even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship your image of gold that you've set up. Because our commandment, one of the Ten Commandments in the very first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. That was their testimony. They stood firm. And I remember as a young boy listening to this story, the fiery furnace is coming very soon in the story, and I can remember looking at pictures or creating an image in my mind of all these people bowing down to this massive golden image and three men standing up. They're not going to do it. That's not the God that they serve. Everyone else was bowing down. They were making a difference for their God, the God of Israel, the God that we love and serve today. So, King Nebuchadnezzar in verse 19 says he was so furious that he commanded the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. He was so angry. He was really furious. He wasn't taking any chances that an ordinary furnace was going to burn him. He wanted them to really suffer. 7 times hotter. And it was so hot that it burned and kills the Babylonian soldiers as they threw the men into the furnace. They suffered themselves and died instantly. So hot. You know what it's like when you get close to a fire. You know what it's like. There's a heat. But imagine that's 7 times hotter than normal. So they're thrown, verse 23, they're actually thrown into the fiery furnace. The next verse tells us that 4 men were seen walking among the flames. 4. God had sent an angel to protect them. They were unbound. No ropes now. They were unharmed by the flames. Verse 27 says, not a hair of their heads were harmed or singed, nor their robes scorched, or any smell of smoke on their clothes. Incredible testimony of faith. Verse 28 says that King Nebuchadnezzar was amazed at God's power. And he calls them servants of the Most High God. All of a sudden, this arrogant man has changed his opinion. He's changed. He's turned. Verse 29 says, as Nebuchadnezzar now acknowledges God as the one true God, he announces that all are now to worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No more the idol. Doesn't tell us what happened to the idol. I would like to think he pulled it down, got rid of it. Or maybe it was there as a sign to say, we don't worship that, we worship God. I don't know. It's just a little thought. And you know, the beautiful thing is that the three, through standing firm in their faith, they gained promotion. They were promoted in the Babylonian kingdom. And all of a sudden, from coming from a persecution, they are being honoured, they're being respected, and God is being honoured over and above. They gained recognition and promotion. So what would you do if you were in their shoes?
Run.
I think I'd run as well. They didn't want to die, these three men. They didn't want to die. I mean, we don't want to die, do we? We want to live our lives, but we have choices to make like they had. Do you know, from the second we wake to the second we go to bed, they're choices. We can choose to do things. We can choose to watch certain things on television. There's an on and off button. Or we can change channels. We can choose to behave in a certain way, in our attitude, in our language, in our behaviour, the way we treat each other. There's a choice always there. Their choice was bow down to an idol or be burned alive in a fiery furnace. They chose the furnace because of the faith they had in God. And they had faith to believe that God would save them. And their faith says, even if you don't, Lord, for your reasons, not ours, for your reasons, even if you don't save us, we will still serve you. We will still love you till that last breath leaves our bodies. So let me bring it back then. So would you bow down but not actually worship the idol? Could they have done that? Would you do that? Would you worship just this one time, then ask God for forgiveness? Would you think that God would excuse you because you're in a foreign land? Would you do the same as everyone else? Or would you stand firm in what you know to be true? Choices, always. What do we do when our faith is tested? Obey God's commands or man's expectations? I talked about persecution earlier, you know, in other countries. And there are people I knew a little while ago in Pakistan where 150 men lost their heads. They were beheaded because they would not bow down to other gods. They lost their lives. They stood firm. They wasn't saved like the three men here. For whatever reason God had for that. But they all lost their lives. But you know, they made a difference. Because people started to take notice. They stood up and realized that these men were strong in their faith. A different faith to the faith of the country. And all the other faiths in that country. So during the fiery trials of life, God is with us always. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor a single hair singed on their heads. Their robes were not scorched, no smell of fire on them. And you know what smoke is like? Bonfire night. Have you ever been at that bonfire night and that smell is still with you afterwards, isn't it? Faith is tested. And it can be trusted. Are you willing to obey God no matter what happens to you? Could your faith handle the trial of an unanswered prayer? I get that question asked, spoken to me regularly. You know, well, we pray, but God doesn't answer our prayers. Doesn't seem to. And as we prayed for prayer box today, we always want it done in our time, don't we? In our way. We want it. If it was me, I want it done yesterday. But God is not like that. His time span is different to ours. And we have to accept that God would do it in his time and in his way. And when he doesn't answer our prayers, just like these three men, We would serve him anyway. We would serve him anyway. A little while ago, well, actually, it's quite a while ago now, I fell from my loft and I fractured three of my vertebrae and my base of my spine. And could have been paralyzed because I actually got myself up and I got into a car and I got to the hospital and I was in agony. And they said, you shouldn't have moved, you could have been paralyzed. And I remember saying to the nurses or the consultant that was there, you know, well, that wasn't God's plan, because obviously I wasn't paralyzed and I'm okay. Of course, I now need to have surgery. That's very silly of me to have done that, but I didn't think it was as serious as it was. But you know, I think to myself, if I was paralyzed, what would I do? Would I stop serving God if I had have been? Would I have stopped? Some people might have done. My faith, I hope and I pray, would be strong enough to say, I'll continue no matter what. So let's just draw to a close some of these thoughts. You know, there's a promise of God that we read in Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He will not slumber. He watches over you. You're coming, you're going, you're night and day. He won't allow anything to harm you. I quote this regularly to various patients, given the opportunity, so they realize that there's a God that they can turn to. That's the God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego turned to. That was their God that they placed their trust in. And just like them, you and I can make a difference. We've got God watching over us. We can make a difference. Like the little story of the star, perhaps that lady that I give a cuddle to in the supermarket. Sometimes it's just the little things that might seem so insignificant, but it really can make a difference. I want to read something to you now. It's, I found this online. It's called The Power of One. And this is where we can, some of these things apply to us, others may not. But just have a listen to this. One song can spark a moment. One flower can wake the dream. One tree can start a forest. One bird can herald spring. One smile begins a friendship. One hand clasp lifts a soul. One star can guide a ship at sea. One word can frame the goal. One vote can change a nation. One sunbeam lights a room. One candle wipes out darkness. One laugh will conquer gloom. One step must start each journey. One word must start a prayer. One hope will raise our spirits. One touch can show you care. One voice can speak with wisdom. One heart can know what's true. One life can make a difference. You see, it's up to you. A lovely poem, that. And I want to show you that I brought some with me if you would like to. It's in this folder here. It's a green poem. I'll place them over on the table as we close. Feel free to take one home. And if any of those things you can do to make a difference to somebody else's life, as I said earlier in my talk, when you make a difference to other people, it does make a difference to you. So I've got a prayer of commitment that if you've been agreeing with everything I've been saying this morning, maybe you could repeat this prayer. As I say each line, maybe you could repeat it after me. It's a prayer of commitment. So let's pray. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I want my faith to be a faith of actions, not just a faith of words, thoughts or feelings. But today I promise to obey you when my faith is tested. Today I vow to follow you no matter what. Thank you for your presence during those trials of life. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you and pray that God has spoken to you this morning. Do you know, it's not about little stories in the Bible that makes us feel good. They're there for a reason. And do you know, people often think they're not real people. People often think they're just stories. But you know, when I die, I'm going to be interested to see all these people that I've read about, that I've preached about, that I learnt in Sunday school about, and being able to see them face to face and talk to them. I mean, it's an amazing thing to think. Heaven, I always say, is something we can only imagine. We're never going to know what it's really like till we're there. But we have imagination of what it's going to be. And it's going to be an incredible place. What about those that's gone before? What about our loved ones? I can think of my mum. I think of my Aunt Flo that I led to the Lord before she died. I can think of others. I think of all those people I've led at Havens. You know, it's guided them to faith. I can think of the little children. Loads and loads of people. We're going to see them again. That's what the Bible says. We're going to see them again. And it's going to be far more than we could ever imagine. So Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego honoured God. And we're going to honour him. We're going to sing our final song together. Jesus.